Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Lucas Oil Raceway. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions, and welcome to Lucas Oil Raceway. Now, the Mad Tools U.S. Nationals joining me is my two favorite guys that we talk racing every day live right here in the studios. Well, this is Pete and this is Cliff. Cliff, guys, it is so good to have you. How was your trip down from the Arctic North?
Well, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't Arctic yet, but did run into a little bit of rain. Obviously, everybody knows and has that little worry about raining down here. But trust me, they're going to get some racing in. It's supposed to clear up this afternoon, too. I haven't even seen any rain here yet.
I was going to say, you can hear the racing going on in the background, so they are doing some racing.
Well, it's absolutely on the way, guys, and Isaac has made his presence known here in Indianapolis. The Mack Tools U.S. Nationals is where we're at. We're going to have a great time. We've got a great show lined up for you today as well. You know, one of our key people that we're going to have coming in the second hour, Courtney Forrest, obviously making a name for herself as well. Coming up here in just a few short minutes, and at the bottom of the hour, Brandon Baker as well. And I know, Pete, you know him as well. You know,
Cliff and I both, we had a great interview with him. It was one of those weird things where we came down here and the then person Chad with John Force Racing was scrambling to get somebody. He's like, hey, talk to the guy that designs the cars. And Cliff probably agree with me. His is one of those stories. It's like, no, that didn't how he got the job. That didn't really happen. And for your minions, he's a local guy. He's from Indiana. Well, so he got the job doing it. It's an amazing story. And it's one of those, we haven't talked to him in 2 or 3 years, and it'll be great to finally check in with him and see what he's doing. And that's why I suggested, let's put him on the balance.
Let's do it. Let's just say all else fails, throw him on the balance. I tell you, right here behind us, though, we're having a great time, guys. Right here behind us, they've already got the stalkers out. Stalkers, not what you're used to. And
all the restraining orders.
Stalkers,
yeah.
You know. But early morning stalkers. But I tell you what, it is a thrill. I mean, we talk about all different types of racing series right mm-hmm. here on this and Cliff as well. And, you know, this is a different type of series. And, Cliff, what I want you to do is just open our eyes to the NHRA. What's it about? What's going on here today?
Well, it's the National Hot Rod Association. It was actually done back in the 30s is when it actually came about. But they have actually evolved. They started off with just the Top Fuel, which is the biggest car, and I'll explain a little bit of the differences to them. A few years later, the Funny Car came along, and then the Pro Stock and the Pro Stock Motorcycle. Obviously, there's the Top Alcohol series also, and God knows there's like 10 or 15 different categories of that. But basically, Top Fuel is the biggest, obviously, and by being the biggest, that's also going to make them the fastest. They actually have a shorter wheelbase. I checked that. I'm sorry. They have a bigger wheelbase, 7,000 horsepower. They can go more than 325 miles an hour. When you get down into the Funny Car, and I should say that the Top Fuels, they're 25 feet long and they weigh 2,320 pounds. The Funny Car, which, believe it or not, it looks like a regular car for the most part, but they call it the Funny Car because they started having, back in the 60s, they started having funny, decals and stuff on them, so they call them the Funny Car. But they're basically the same, just a shorter wheelbase, but they do have a carbon filter body, like I said, that, you know, goes to what a regular automobile would look like. And they are actually called floppers as well, but they run at 315 miles an hour. And then the Pro Stock, basically called the factory hot rods, and they're, again, smaller, 210 horsepower, miles per hour, 1,300 horsepower, and then obviously the Pro Stock motorcycle, man, 6.8 seconds on a motorcycle, man. Could you imagine that, flying down there almost 200 miles an hour, my
friend? So going from zero to 200 miles an hour in what, 10.5 seconds?
Six.
6 seconds and 1,000 feet.
That's six, baby.
6 seconds, man.
I'll tell you, I still want to try one, though, just once. Maybe the last thing I ever do, but, man, I got
to
try.
I'm with you. I would love to do that. And you know, come on out here to the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals if you're anywhere close to Indianapolis. And, of course, we're in the west suburbs area. Kind of looks like we're out in the middle of a cornfield, because we are. But I tell you what, this is an exciting area, and this is a small town. But when the racing comes, it is full of life. And now, Cliff, I tell you what, I'm so glad to have you guys on board with us all day today. We're doing a special 2 hours of dedicated to NHRA and just really fast cars. And I know Kenny's not with us today. He usually gives us the tech line of things. But what are some of the things that fans are looking for today as they line up? And what wins the series? Do they have to win different heats? How does that work, Lee?
Well, basically it is. I mean, here, especially here at the U.S. Nationals, it's usually one day longer than what a normal event will run. You have 3 days of qualifying, and then you have on the final day, you have what they call eliminators. So you get the top 16 guys, and basically it's just like a round-robin tournament all the way down to the end. But, you know, you're looking – the biggest thing, I guess, Tom, right now, what you're going to be looking for is there's a lot of guys in a lot of divisions that are looking to get in – to what they call the countdown to the championship here in the NHRA. And today, or this weekend, I should say, is the last weekend for them to make that. So you're going to be looking for a good car. But, we talked about this before on the show. Your biggest thing is you got to remember that just because you have a great car, that doesn't mean you're going to win the race, because there's so much timing that has to go down to it. Pete, you remember we were down in Norwalk.
Oh.
And the number one qualifier on his first elimination heat
started
to take off, and just in his spin out, and the parachutes come out automatically disqualification. So you got to worry about the timing of the light. And we've talked to a lot of guys, and we'll probably hear that a little bit today, Tom, is – you know, they work a lot on catching that light right at the right time, because if you go over or jump too soon, you're automatically out. So there's some driving involved, but timing is huge.
Yeah, the low ETs is what everybody wants. I mean, that and a lot of people don't understand that over 50% of wins are on hole shots. And a hole shot meaning you were the first one off the line, and if your car's being equal, you're the one who wins. And that's what they're all going for. It's really funny that they measure this sport in the hundreds of miles that they go. They're up to 330 miles an hour and 1,000 feet. But it's the 1,000th of a second that counts, that makes it like, wow, this is what it's all down to. So it's so many things. And then there's all the stuff. It's during that 1,000 feet, what are you looking at? Oh, we've got the shake zone. We've got this. We've got that. And just to listen to some of them break it down, people think, oh, it's just them going fast for 3 seconds. No, it's in that 3 seconds. What has all happened?
I tell you what, I love to watch drag race. These are really one of my personal favorites. And, of course, all the big guys are here today, Schumacher, Force. And, you know, veteran driver Tony Schumacher did a fantastic job yesterday in the top fuel qualifying in the U.S. Army Dragster in the 58th annual. So he'll be doing this 58 years right here, huh?
Oh, yeah. The big go is what they call it, because you come here and go. And, you know, one of the best things I heard from – I think it was John Gray or one of the other funny car guys. They go, everybody wants to win Indy because at the end of the year, there's only two things people remember. One, who won the championship, and two, who won Indy. That's it.
Well, Indy also, you know, the U.S. Nationals down here, Mack Tools U.S. Nationals, is equivalent to NASCAR's Daytona.
Yeah.
To start the race, and it's huge. And now it's even more important because, you know, you get the top 10 positions going to the countdown. And you got to get there. So,
and wasn't it just a couple of years ago, Robert Height didn't make it into the countdown until the U.S. Nationals, and he ended up winning the championship.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So,
well, I tell you what, it's going to be an exciting weekend, providing that the weather holds off. And I think that they're trying to get as much in now as they absolutely can. Now, are they going to push this back to Tuesday, or is this something that if this doesn't get through till Monday, it's done, and we'll try it again next year?
No, what they'll do essentially is if it rains during the qualification series, of events, they will take what, you know, the qualifying from the first day is how they usually do that. And then if it does rain on Monday, they will push it back to Tuesday. They have to run this event again simply because it's so important to get into the countdowns. But they will run the event. It may be on Tuesday, but qualifying, if it gets washed, it gets washed.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I had heard once that they actually had went as far as a Wednesday to finish one back in the 70s. They got half of it done on a Tuesday, rained again, and they started at like 8 a.m. on Wednesday, but they had to they have to get it done. It's like a NASCAR race. What was the one we saw? Was it Pocono a couple of years ago? They ran the thing on a Wednesday because it had been that bad of rain that many days in a row. So it's one of those, it gets done. Qualifying, you could skip over. You've got contingencies for everything, but you've got to run that race, and you got to get at least half of it done. Just like this, it's got to be down to the final, boom, who gets it.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about John Force and Force Racing. Obviously, we've got Courtney Force coming in here just a little bit, and John's been on the show here before. Obviously, a great contender. He does well here every year. John Force Racing, Courtney Force, obviously taking in the family footsteps. What are some of the things when you look at it? Really, you look at the in comparison to the other racing. You look at Penske as to IndyCar, Force is to NHRA. And so, what happens is now John Force is not only an owner; he's a driver, and his daughter drives. And then, of course, you know Force and Schumacher. That's the two people that people come to watch, the two of the most popular ones. Obviously, some of the other ones that are doing great this year, obviously, Jack Beckman, obviously, and the other female out there, and no stranger to female out here as well, is Erica Anders as well, and doing well. So we're excited to see all of those, but let's face it, people are here to see Force and Schumacher.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, those are the two big giants of the industry. You know, Schumacher's got his ventures into both the Funny Car and the Top Fuel, so you're going to be looking at that. But, I mean, let's take a look at Top Fuel for a minute. Schumacher Racing is dominating. I mean, the top three guys, the three guys in that series are three of the top four. So it's been a battle back and forth. I mean, Tony Schumacher has had the lead three or four times during two there. Antoine Brown has not had the points lead, but he's been close. And then Spencer Massey, he went on that little bit of a tear. So,
and has the fastest speed
but
ever.
But Schumacher pulled a nice run yesterday, and he is determined. He hasn't won a championship since 2004, so he's looking to get back on track. And we interviewed him for a few minutes during the elimination round going into the semifinals over at Norwalk, and you could just see from before seeing the guy talk, he is just determined to go. But Force Racing, they've been dominant over the years. This year, not so much.
Now, right, we're obviously right here in the west part of Indianapolis. A lot of race teams here, both IndyCar, NHRA, as well, and right up the road here in Brownsburg. Brownsburg holds the home to a lot of headquarters to the NHRA, and even some of the NASCAR drivers. Tony Stewart's right up the road too, as well. So Brownsburg, Indianapolis is the hub for racing. And what is it? This track here for NHRA is just like up the road to IMS, and different type of fans, different fan followers. So tell us a little bit about the fans that come to this race as opposed to the fans that go up the road there.
Well, you know, first of all, there's a reason they come to Brownsburg. Brownsburg, you know, most of the NHRA, especially the big guys, they have a West Coast area that they, you know, garage area, and then they have the Central, which is where they pull out. So we're more centralized in Brownsburg, and that's why they come. The difference in fans, I'll be quite honest with you, I don't know what it is about the U.S. Nationals. I am shocked. I've talked to a lot of my friends who are NASCAR fans. I've talked to NASCAR fans at other tracks. But there's just something about the U.S. National drag racing down here that it's intermingled. But people come down here to watch the power and watch the speed. But the biggest thing is, folks, if you're listening and you're kind of borderline on whether to come down here, it's the only racing series where your ticket is a pit pass. You can get back in, watch them work on the cars, fire up the cars. You can stand there and just sniff the nitro. You'll get a headache and your throat will hurt, as we found out the hard way. But there's nothing like being back there and watching those guys working. Because you think about it, they go out there and do their run, and they've got under an hour that they have to totally rebuild that car and do it again. And it is just awesome to see. And on top of that, the racers here are just dynamite. They will take time, and we've actually watched them. You know, every 5-10 minutes, they'll come out of their trailers. The people out there waiting, he'll go over and sign autographs, pictures, whatever. And it's all of them. It's not just one. It's not like NASCAR and some of the others where there's one or two that'll sign, and the rest of them tell you to go to heck, so to speak. But the fan base out here, the U.S. Nationals has their own fan base, even for other NHRA tracks. I don't know what it is about Indianapolis. But the cool thing is, not only do you get to see the big dogs, but you get to see all of the drag racing classes that you can find anywhere around the Midwest. And it's just a great place to be, and it's just awesome to watch.
Well, it's great. So also, some of the stuff, if you're not watching the NHRA full throttle stuff, you're seeing all the other drag racing that's going on. And it's funny just to watch some of the vehicles that people have souped up. The first time I ever came to U.S. Nationals, I still love this. We're on Monday. It's the countdown. And one of the lesser series that was out there, it was the one that had all the Corvettes and Mustangs, but one of the cars was actually an 85 Ford Escort. and it was a match race where he gets his green light, goes, and he's 3/4 of the way down the track, and then this Corvette slams it and loses.
Well, you think we can soup up the minivan out there, Pete?
I've told Cliff we need to put some nitrous on that thing.
You know, the best nitrous movie scene of all. What was it? Tommy Boy, where they're driving.
Oh, yeah.
They're going so fast in the police car. That's the
oh,
best.
No, it was Black Sheep.
Black Sheep. That's what it is. Well, you know what? For 2 years now, Tony Schumacher has not been able to dance here in Indianapolis. For some reason, the last 2 years has not been exactly what he's looking for. Tony Schumacher wants to be in Victory Lane this year here at the Mack Tools U.S. National. What does he have to do, Cliff?
Well, first of all, I mean, let's face it. The first time, 2 years ago, he had issues getting started. And unfortunately, last year he blew an engine right off the bat. So, and again, he was number one qualifier last year. So, you know, hopefully that's not an omen to the poor guy. But, you know, his concentration's there this year. And it's just a matter of timing and hoping that he gets that good car. Because, you know, one little cylinder being off or anything, boom, the engine goes. But he's definitely got it on there. And, again, I look for him to be in the semifinals, barring that he has no problems with his equipment.
Pete?
The big thing I want to see is how the enclosed capsule – I mean, one of the things we talked about on Speed Talk, and you'll get to hear it tomorrow, but we want to see, is it just Tony Schumacher that enclosed the capsule, or did the whole team enclose it? And I want to see if that really helps them. Me, my big thing is I am all about safety. We've talked about this on your show about maybe IndyCar needs to take a step back and say, you know what, maybe we do need to enclose these things. It's all about safety. And that's what they're talking about doing with the Top Fuel. Want to see if that does that. But then also, is it also giving them an upper hand? Because if you think about it, if you've got an open space, just that little bit of drag, and we were talking earlier, we're measuring this down to hundreds of thousands of seconds. Maybe that's what'll give them a little bit of an advantage, but I know NHRA is not going to... kind of like this idea, let's go with it, and we'll see if everybody else follows suit with it. So that's going to be the interesting thing to see. Hopefully for Tony, it helps him. I'd love to see him back in Victory Lane here. I mean, I'm glad that he did get a win sometime this year, because that was the other thing we were hearing across NASCAR and all that. When is Gordon going to win another, or when's Jimmy going to win, when's Hendricks going to win? And we were also hearing about it in the NHR, well, Junior win. That's the big one. When's Junior going to win? Well, Tony Schumacher, same thing. He hadn't won, what was it, Cliff, like a year and a half?
Well, there's a difference. Schumacher's won championships.
Well, I don't know.
Wow.
Junior might be on his way.
And Junior Nation is going to weigh in.
You guys, we're here at the Mack Tools U.S. National at Lucas Oil Raceway. You know, I still want to call it that other name, and it's just stuck on my tongue. I can't get it off. It just...
Dude.
You know, it's there. I don't want to say it right now because we'll get thrown out. But, you know.
I still call it the original.
I was going to say, he calls it ORP on the air.
Absolutely. But, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll get back. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's coming on your show. Obviously, you guys got some guests to line up to talk to later on today, and your show as well, guys. So we'll be right back right here on The Balance, my minions. Stay put right there. Give me five. Give me that which I desire.
We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits.
I demand more.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
All right, my minions, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back to Lucas Oil Raceway, home of the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals right here. I got people reaching at me for my mics and all kinds of stuff. I tell
sorry,
you.
Sorry, you're using our equipment.
I tell you what, that's how it works. At least it's not smoking today. You know, when we were up in Michigan, that other board you
that I don't
was smoking. I was like, this cannot be
well,
right.
Well, it wasn't the board. It was the sound mixer.
It was the cord. Well, guys, you know what, Austin? We haven't forgot about the rest of our minions. Obviously, this is typically about the time when we begin to merge into our college football talk. And we got a lot to talk about on college football, but unfortunately, that's going to have to push back a week. And, of course, Evan and Jimmy will be back with us next week. A Purdue talk as well as IU. But right now, out in Dublin, Ireland, Notre Dame game going on right now, guys.
How often do you get to give a score update during your show on
Never.
A Saturday
I'm
morning?
I'm loving it. And it's 0-0, Army-Navy. I'm seeing Army-Navy. Notre
oh
Dame-Navy.
What is it, late November already in your mind?
I see Navy. I just want to, you know, I know Army. I'm all about
it's
Army.
It's like Hatfield and McCoys. They're always going to be associated with one another.
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited to watch Notre Dame this year, and I wish that we had more time to talk about Notre Dame and college football as well.
Hey, look, we got a score update. Notre Dame just scored six.
Come on, man. You know, what is it with the Notre Dame stuff, man? You couldn't have thought of a better, you know, fighting song there, buddy.
Well, he didn't know that they were playing at 9 until I pointed it out.
Like, that's right.
Why has he got it up on there?
Well, guys, one thing that we do have going on today here is the Mack Tools U.S. National. We're standing by here, and we've got a great guest coming in here at 9:30 at 10 o'clock, Courtney Ford. So we're going to have a great day here. And, of course, you guys, Speed Talk, we don't want to forget about what you guys got going on. Of course, you guys got some great guests lined up for today that will be aired later on. But in this week's show, and we'll be airing that tomorrow right here on the Balance Radio Network. But what's going on Speed Talk this week?
Well, we obviously are going to cover Bristol, and Cliff has quite a bit to say about that. And in my opinion, I like the way it's done there. I don't know if Bruton spending all that money is necessary, but it filled the stands. It didn't pack them. It filled them. But it was some great racing. We also
They were 15,000 people away from selling out. That's the best they've had in, 7 years?
Yeah, but 15,000 in a stadium that seats 105,000, that's still 10% less. And yes,
they had 140,000 people. feet.
Was it? I thought it's 140. Oh, okay, 105. Okay.
Okay,
so still,
yeah,
it's 140. 50,000 is more than 10%.
Yeah. $55 a piece minimum. Why not, right?
And also, we're going to talk with a good friend, Dennis Bickmeyer of Richmond International Raceway. Cliff and I ran into him at Michigan. In the infield of all places. I don't. Did he recognize you or did you recognize him? Because it was one of those, hey, Pete, I didn't even see that he was there.
It was kind of a both thing. You know, we kind of looked at each other and said, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
He was busy Twittering for Richmond at the
time.
Oh,
he was?
Yeah, because it was during opening ceremony.
That evil Twitter. I think everybody Twitters now.
Except Pete.
Except Pete.
Yeah, but he's not important, so it don't matter.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess it is bathroom break for me.
I was watching a certain convention this week. Let you guys figure out which one that was. But I was on Twitter. I love Twitter, and the social media was going crazy. I think we're going to elect a president slowly on Twitter. I think that's how we're going to. I'm going to say we're going to get a new president in November. That's all I'm going to say. This is a sports talk show.
And it's going to be
dude, you agree with both of us. So.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and it's going to be Clint Eastwood.
You know what? I do. You know what? I said to Michelle, our producer, on the way out here today, I said, I am not going to bring up the empty chair. But we have two empty chairs here, so you know I can't resist, you know, and we're going to fill those up here.
He can't do that to himself.
That was classic.
Actually, Clint, they're not empty. They're interviewing one.
That's right.
It's the ghost of Clint Eastwood interviewing the ghost of whoever.
Go ahead, make my show. Clint Eastwood for president, that's for sure. Well, we do digress, but we always get back online. And one of the exciting things that's happening here this weekend is really a pretty hefty purse in a race within a race. Cliff, tell us a little bit about that.
Hefty purse.
$100,000.
I thought you were talking Vera Bradley.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, we do come from Fort Wayne.
Follow me, guys, here. I know you guys are from up north there. So
we're the designer purse capital of the Midwest.
But well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
No.
I mean, yeah, it's a huge purse down here. Are you talking about the Traxxas, or are you talking
right,
about...
Right, well, that's a shootout. That's a separate...
Then right. But go ahead. They've been advertising it, race within a race, Mack Tools USA. So.
Yeah, I mean, John Force has been pretty much dominating that, and Courtney actually won the Vogue Fans, so she's going to be in it. It's just a showcase. It's like having a little all-star race in the middle of it, you know, brought up by Traxxas, but there's still some pretty good racing going on there. But, you know, I've never seen it, so I can't tell you how good it looks. I mean, we usually come down here 2 or 3 days, but, you know, you can't see everything. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is...
I mean, look at what all we're missing while we're doing this.
I guess I should have did my homework before I asked the question. I go on the assumption that you guys know a lot more than you do. I mean...
If not, we're fake it really well.
You guys are like my dad. I mean, I look at you guys, and I've got hero written all over, and you can do no wrong. You're my heroes.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what, jumping in our Clint Eastwood chair there, Brandon, you don't know this, but that's the Clint Eastwood chair. So, you know who you're interviewing right there in the empty chair next to you there. Brandon Baker, graphic artist, obviously funny car for John Force Racing. Brandon, thanks for joining the balance in. And I certainly want to hear your story. I know you know Pete and Cliff, but this is home for you.
It sure is. Yeah, this is I've grown up in this track. I've visited here many times growing up. My dad built Pro Stock chassis for a long time, and we used to ride in the pickup truck here. And my brother and I would run over to Force's pit before I knew who Force was, and we would take handfuls of Jolly Ranchers back in the 80s.
Just a handful?
Oh, well, I don't know. You can ask my dentist. I think it was more than a handful.
Well, you know what, Brandon, you've got a unique story, and we talked to you about this in the past. You designed the cars for horse racing. How did you get that job? Tell us that story. I mean, it's just amazing.
Oh, boy, that was it is amazing. I'm still in awe of it. So I was a designer. I have a design background. I have a degree from Michigan State, and I have been designing for about 3 or 4 years, doing like offshore boats, RV designs, all the exterior graphics. And I was flying out west to meet with some clients out there, and it was the Monday after the Brainerd race, and John Force, I just happened to walk by first class, and here's John Force on my flight. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And I noticed Brandon Bernstein was on the flight and a few other people. Well, I tried to get – I called my brother sitting on the tarmac, and I said, hey, John Force is on the flight. Should I talk to him about Dad's business and try to drum up some business for my dad? And my brother said, oh, no, don't bother that guy. He's way too busy for us. And, of course, I'm in the back of the plane with two of my bosses. And so we fly the whole time, and I literally prayed. I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to talk to this guy, you know, make it happen. So we get off the plane, and he's long gone. And thought, man, I lost my opportunity. And I get down to baggage claim, and we're at John Wayne Airport out in California. And he's just standing there with his hands in his pockets, and nobody's talking to him. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm starting to shake, I think, at this point. And my bosses, they both left to do something. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go talk to him about my dad. So I walk up and I say, excuse me, Mr. Force. And he pulls out a Sharpie to sign an autograph. I said, no, I don't want an autograph. So I start to give him a sales pitch on my dad. And, you know, if you remember my dad? And, of course, he said, oh, yeah, I know the name. He has no idea who my dad is. But that's the kind of guy he is. And so halfway through it, he stops me. He says, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a graphic designer. He says, what do you design? And I said, well, you know, like that. And he said, can you design race cars? And I said, oh, yeah, I could design race cars. And he says, and I had no idea where he was going with this. And he said, is racing in your blood? And I said, yeah. And he says, would you be interested in working for me? And I think my jaw hit the ground. And I said, yeah, definitely. And fortunately, my bosses weren't standing. And so he said, you have something to write on. And he gave me a Sharpie, and I wrote my phone number on a bagel receipt from that morning. And 4 days later, I get a blocked phone call on my cell phone, and it was him. And he was going to the Memphis race and called me and asked me if I could come down for an interview. So,
Tell you what, go ahead. Sir.
I was going to say, my first question is, before we go any further, since, you know, these guys are making me hear things I don't want to hear, how bad does Michigan State beat Notre Dame this year?
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
I tell you what, I got home just in time to see them, see Michigan State play Boise State a little bit last night, and they have a running back that looks pretty darn strong, so I don't know, Notre Dame.
I tell you what, though, we've been giving these Notre Dame updates, and you can't beat college football at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, you know, so 6-0 Notre Dame.
Seven minutes left in the first quarter.
I tell you
quarter.
What, anytime you can beat Navy, I'm all about it. In that Army-Navy game back in November, I'm all about the Army. I was in the Army, so fantastic. I love Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and these guys are from up north. And you're not a Notre Dame fame club?
I got to tell you, I despise Notre Dame for a lot of years for a lot of reasons, because, you know, they're like Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson. They whine a lot. But as we go on, you know, I got to tell you, though, when Pete and I were doing the sports show up there, we had credentials there. Once I got down on that field, went down that hollow, you know, hallway and everything, I do like Notre Dame. Are they my favorite? No. My favorite team is no longer my favorite team, thanks to them killing the greatest coach ever. But I do like Notre Dame. Not to get off of that. Sorry. But
No. It's you know, actually, I just got a text. That, you know, normally we're an all-around sports talk show, but we're dedicating today to obviously Mac Tools, and so we're talking racing all along. So the guy that normally does our IU talks IU with us, Jimmy the intern. You know him from Gary Snyder's show. He's on there sometimes with us, but. He goes, I'm not calling in today, but I am watching the IU game. I mean, the Notre Dame game. I said, Trader, what have I needed you to call in today and talk some IU? So, but anyway, we do digress. But, you know, good to have you here with us, Brandon, and great story that you have. And I mean, how did you get into graphic design?
You know, when I was growing up, my whole family has an artistic background. So we were constantly, my brother and I, we were drawing motorcycles, and I would take a photo. My dad built a pro stock in the 80s for Albert Clark and Don Kuntz. I don't know if you guys know them, but we used to go down to Albert's house, and while my dad was working on the car, making adjustments or whatnot, I would take photos of his car and put transfer paper over it and trace the outline of the car and then doodle paint schemes on it. And it's just always been something that I've done, and I have no idea how I ended up in racing. It's funny, you know, you talk some football. I was actually a walk-on at Michigan State. I walked on the football team there.
About that, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And my brother is huge into drag racing, and he actually builds. My dad has a high performance shop still where they build all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's funny how our paths have changed, because he went he's now coaching football with his son, and I'm in the drag racing industry, so which, you know, 10 years ago you would have thought it'd be completely opposite.
That's a neat story.
Let's talk about how you get the ideas. I mean, is it one of those where you know, the folks at John Force or John Force himself come up to you and say, this is what I want in this car, or does he say, draw me some stuff and see what it does?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination. Generally, it's John, either a phone call or come straight to me. He is extremely hands-on, I would say, with all the projects. Anything artwork-related, he likes to be a part of. And, like, for example, we ran the 15-time champ car last year here. It was a yellow and black car, and we were in Charlotte preceding that race, and that's when we started doing the design phase. And he asked me, he came to me and asked if I had any ideas, and then he said he all he wanted was a big number on the side, and he wanted it yellow and black. And so that was it. And from there, I took that information and kind of did some ideas, and then we kind of narrowed in together, and we have a team of people that's awesome at adding input and kind of make it all come together. So
do you stick around with them through the whole paint scheme and doing the whole painting and everything,
do.
Or do you do part of that at all?
Yeah, I'm very involved in that. I oversee all the paint shop, and I go from sketching it on the paper, the initial ideas, the concept with John, to bring it into the computer and then sending it out to sponsors and making sure that they're, you know, they like it and everything, and just giving them a preview of it. And then I actually go into the paint booth with the car. A lot of times I build a paint mask. We have a machine that is capable of printing all of our trailer graphics, everything we need it can do. So I do all that in-house, and I'll print a paint mask, which is kind of like a paint by number pretty much. You put it on and then you paint the areas with the colors. I'll do that, and that way it's consistent to every car. And then I actually decal all the cars as well. So I make all the decals, most of the decals, and I will decal the cars until they go down the track. I'm hands-on all the way down there, and then I shoot photos of them from there.
Now, you mentioned that it's kind of like a paint-by-number and all that. In the days now, we do shrink-wrapping on cars now and all that. Is there part of that that's shrunk-wrap or anything to give it a smoother surface, or is it the paint and then you throw the decals on? Because I know that I want to say it was IndyCar or something like that. They were saying that the decals were actually given drag, and you think not that little bitty surface, but
yeah, in fact, in NASCAR and IndyCar, when they run super speedway stuff, a lot of them do vinyl wrap these days, and it's just the easy way when you know they change sponsors a lot or change paint schemes. Well, you just peel them off and put on a new one, or they hit the wall a lot, so repairing is a lot easier with vinyl. And we do some of that, not a lot. Vinyl weighs a lot more than paint.
Oh.
So we're all about the weight. And so we found it's a pretty healthy percentage, the difference. And then the drag that you're talking of, we don't worry so much about the drag as much as those guys on the super speedways. But what they do to compensate for that, they will actually vinyl wrap the whole car. Well, then they'll clear coat everything, and it gets rid of all those edges.
Oh, cool.
So that's how they kind of get away from that.
Start to finish, what's the timeline? 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months?
Depends on when the next race is.
Oh.
We've had, sometimes we can have 2 weeks to do a project. Other times we can have a day and a half. You know, if we're going to paint our standard paint scheme car, we're real efficient with it. By the time it comes in, we do all the little body work that needs to be done before, once it leaves the fab shop. We can turn it around in about a day and a half.
Oh, wow.
Fully decaled and ready to go. And we probably could do sooner than that. We just wouldn't have any sleep, happens.
We're talking with Brandon Baker, a graphic artist for John Force Racing. Brandon, so glad that you could join us here on The Balance today at the Mag Tools National. I got to ask you this. There's got to be some difficult sponsors that say, you know what, Brandon, I don't like it. That's not us. That's not what we're trying to portray. And you don't have to name any names, because I know you like working for John Force Racing, because every sponsor is perfect, right? But I'm sure you've had some difficult sponsors. How do you handle those?
Well, you know, the most difficult sponsor for me, or difficult person to please for me, is John himself. And he has a vision, and trying to interpret that vision is what is really challenging. So if you can please him, you can just about please any sponsor. But really, most of the sponsors, I think all of them, are very gracious, and they understand the what if we tell them, you know, we can't do this, we can do this on a project, or if they want something and we have to compromise with it, they understand. And there are times when we come up against stuff, but that's where I kind of have to set my ego aside and say, okay, they don't like this, there's a reason why, and they're trying to do something that I just didn't see the first time. So,
any chance you can get our logo snuck on the car before, you know, just as they're getting final adjustments, they're just throwing it on them.
Cash says anything for us.
That's right. Cash, absolutely.
What I ask you, I don't care whether I don't care whether you enjoy it, but I'm going to ask you, we see how John the last week is doing so well to retire.
Oh, I want a copy of this.
He has more. I told so much my friends, he has more energy. I'm 50 years old. He's basically double my age, and he has way more energy than I do. I don't think he's with, with him needing to retire or anything like that. He is sharp, and when you talk, I can't look at a race car go down the track and say what the driver's doing, what the driver's not doing. But I sit with the crew chiefs, and you know, we go to breakfast when we're at the races and whatnot. And every single one of them will tell you that when he gets behind the wheel, what they can see that car is doing is just blows them away. What that guy knows and what's so natural. So I wouldn't say that at all, that it's anything to do with his driving skill.
Well, it's got to be an honor to work with a legend like John Force, and to hear the story about how you came about it. What are some of the things that you can tell us behind the scenes about John Force? What's on John Force's iPad? iPod.
You know, if John had an iPod.
Does he know how to use it?
He's still got a cassette deck. He's got an 8-track in that Ford.
Yeah, he still wears 1980s snakeskin boots. Come on, man.
Yeah. Email doesn't, you know, I don't know if he quite gets what text messaging is.
Neither does Pete. So it's
no, I just don't agree with Twitter. That's all. I know what text messaging is.
Oh, man. Yeah, John, I tell you what, I do have a story that I want to tell about John, and this kind of tells you the type of person he is. I have a little sister who has Down syndrome, and she means the world to me. And I had a picture on my desk when I first started here out in California. And John knew nothing about this, and I didn't come out and tell him. And he just walked in, and he saw that picture, and he says, hey, who's in the picture? And I said, that's my little sister, Brooke. And he said, turn over to Kelly Antonelli, who he calls the general here. She runs the operation. He looks at her, and he says, get me one of those coats, the ones that they embroider and they sell in the store and out here. And he says, I want to send it to Brooke. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, you know. But what happens is he gets the coat, and he writes her a message on the inside of the coat in this long letter to her, and then he signs it John Force, and they send it off, and did all this without anyone saying anything. And so fast forward a few months, we were in Joliet, Illinois, testing. My family had an ADRL car for a while, 10.5-inch tire car, and we were testing it, and a lady came up. Brooke was wearing her coat, and a lady came up wearing an old Force coat. And she's making conversation with Brooke, and she says, oh, you know. And then the lady says, look, I have his autograph right here. And Brooke opens up the flap of her car. She had a letter from John. But that tells you the type of heart he has. And a guy like that, you know, obviously tempers can flare at times, and that's part of all of us. But, boy, he does have a heart of gold, especially for someone who faces different challenges than the rest of us do. And so that's something that it makes me really want to work that much harder for him.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great story, Brandon.
Yeah, it's an awesome story. But I got to tell you, I'm not so sure I agree with all that, because last time we interviewed him, Pete tried to tell him that his father, stepfather.
It was my stepfather when he passed away.
Wanted to be buried in one of his John Force T-shirts. Pete thinking he was going to get a moment of you know.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And he did for a quick second. He turns around, and I'm not sure who he was yelling at. And he goes, I hope that was a great quality made T-shirt that's going to last forever.
I thought you were going to tell a story about it. He's like, damn, but you're starting to make me cry.
No. But he is. I mean, a lot of people don't like him because he is a champion. It's just like, you know, Dale Earnhardt Sr.
The Yankees. And any sport you name a winner, you're gonna have your fans. You're gonna have your.
But he loves the fans. He doesn't care whether you hate him. He doesn't care whether you love him or in between. But, I mean, he's just a great guy. And, yeah, man, it's got to be fun working.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast. We have fun every day. And yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more.
Well, Brandon, what's it like inside the garage with John when temper, you mentioned this a while ago, tempers flare, that's all part of racing, obviously we know that. But what's it like to be behind the scenes in the garage when tempers flare with John? And obviously, does he yell at his daughter? Does he make Courtney cry? Because we're going to ask her that, was she?
does he yell at his daughter?
does he still send her to her room or back to her motor coach?
No racing for you today.
No racing for you today.
Boy, I don't know. You know, when tempers start to flare, I tend to get small and blend into the wall.
Don't blame you.
Yeah. No, but, you know, like I said, tempers have flared, and I've witnessed it, but there's always, you know, after a moment of taking your breath, there's always apologies and, you know, I didn't really mean that, you know, things sure. like that. So, but, you know, like I said, we all go through that. So,
how much in strategy are you, or do they rely on you?
I'm sorry.
How much in strategy for racing do they rely on you?
They better not rely on
me. How often do you get blamed for it?
yeah, your decal was coming off at the corner. I lost because of you.
Yeah, well, they tell me that. They tell me that when with the crew guys. You know, I have a good relationship with the crew guys. So if I come out to a race and we don't do so well, like I think it was Sonoma, I was out there and we didn't do so hot. And, I get blamed for that. And they say, why don't you just stay back in the shop?
So, now, do you do all the cars for John? Or
I
just,
do. Yep.
Okay. Now,
Take care of them.
Do you have a lot of people that work underneath you, or is it just you? Or?
It's mostly it's me, and then there's a painter, Dave Gregory. He paints all of our cars, and then we rely quite a bit on PPG. They supply all of our paint, and we lean heavily on them for tech support, things like that, ideas. They have a whole team of people. They're heavily involved in Penske and the NASCAR side. So we're always bouncing off ideas and things like that. So there's a big team there, but technically there's only one guy that's under the paint department, or two guys, I should say. So
on a race weekend, when you go to the races with them, obviously a lot of the time you guys aren't beating and banging, but there's stuff we can go look back. I think it was one before Charlotte. Johnny Gray hit something and had significant damage on the front of his the shell of his funny car. Do you have to help it out with that, on fixing that and the graphic and all that, or is they just throw some high speed tape like they do on stock cars and all that?
We try to make them look as good as we can every single time, because we never would like a sponsor to see it on TV and pick up the phone and say, hey, why was my, you know, why did my car look not quite right? I'm always trying to make sure. In fact, in every trailer, we have a kit or two kits full of every single decal that car has on it. And a few of the crew guys know where that kit's at. I know where it's at. And there's another guy that I've trained out here. He's learning how to decal everything, because really I'm the only one here that can put on the giant hood decals and things that knows how.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to train him up in case I'm not at a race, because I haven't been going to as many. And, the upkeep is very important, especially with our cars, man. They take so much abuse. It's not like a pro stock or a dragster even. A dragster's engine is behind all the graphics. Ours are right on the side, so we're melting all kinds of stuff. So,
now, do you ever seek advice or from other artists, like, you know, one of the other famous ones, David Peters is another one too. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see them a lot around the track and say, you pick their brain, or do you guys kind of like got your own thing going on? Because artists are kind of picky like that.
Yeah, so I haven't talked to, like you said, David Peters. I haven't talked to him. I talked to, I mentioned PPG. There's a guy, Paul Stoll, who is their custom airbrush artist. I talked to him quite a bit, and then he has a connection to, I think he calls him Chucky D, who paints a lot of, like, Jim Head's cars, used to paint the Oakley cars with Gary Selzy. So we've all been in a circle of communication, so kind of bouncing off ideas or trying to talk about different things or how to achieve different things and paint and stuff like that. So really, though, for the most part, our standard paint scheme cars are very corporate looking. We like them to look like race cars. I kind of feel, you know, there's a lot of cars out here that have all kinds of wild jazz going on, but then when they get on the racetrack, you can't tell what they look like. And if you look at cars back in the 60s and 70s, the race cars, they're just a couple of stripes, and it really stood out, and you knew whose car that was. And I kind of like that. You know, they look fast. They look like race cars. So, and that's kind of how ours go. A lot of our sponsors, Traxxas likes theirs pretty fancy. They do the model after it. And their artist actually did design their car this year. Unfortunately, I didn't get to do that one. I love doing them all, but that one, that was okay with me. The artist did an incredible job on it. For the most part, we try to keep them looking pretty corporate. So
now, we obviously talked about how John Force has his basically fingers in the pot, so to say, on all the designs. But you're designing for four different drivers. Does Robert or Mike come up to you or Ashley and say, you know what, how about tweaking this a little bit? I wish there was a little bit more of a flair in that. Or is it John says it, that's it. You guys, they drive, they don't care.
Well, here's the what's funny about that is, yeah, they do. The other drivers do come up. I'll come up with something. The other drivers will come up and say, hey, man, I would really like it if you had, like Mike Neff likes some of the pearl colors and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, metal flake and paint adds weight, so we try to stay away from that stuff. But he'll come up and say, you know, I like my car to look a little better. I like it to be buffed after you paint it, and I'll spend a little more time, make it look nice. And then if it's a design aspect, if he comes to me and says, yeah, I would like that, and then I go back to John and say, hey, Mike wants this. Well, if John says yes, then it's yes. If John says no, then it's
yes. So we got time for one more question.
Sure.
Here. Weather. Does that really matter to you, to your job? Or does it? Is it once it's on there, it doesn't matter if it rains?
Well, our stuff generally doesn't get wet. You know, they carry a car cover if there's a threat of rain up to the starting line. It could. You know, if I had to do a repair in the middle of a windstorm, which I have done before, and and Chicago comes to mind. It seems like we always have a major storm and a major blow up in Chicago. So.
The Windy City.
Yeah. But yeah, it does affect. Mostly, it just when it rains, it starts to get boring at the track. we try to find stuff to keep us busy. Then so
come up and talk to radio guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're praying for rain. We're like, wow, look, that schedule will fill up in a heartbeat.
We're watching the radar for a completely different reason.
Yeah,
you guys,
yeah, I bet you are.
We appreciate you coming up here and talking with us today. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces outside the race car? Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah,
Twitter?
Yeah, I do Twitter. It's at JFR Baker is my handle, I guess you call it. I'm new at it, and I've just been starting it. We've been running a lot of starting to do recreate John's old cars now, cars from the 70s. So I'm tweeting a lot of that kind of stuff, and anything that's coming down the pipeline that I can show, I do tweet. So,
well, we're looking forward to talking with you again. Brandon Baker, thanks so much for joining us on The Balance.
You.
Our minions are greatly enlightened now.
we're much
smarter people. I know I am.
I hope so.
Because I never knew how those things got on the car.
No, you thought a stork brought them or something?
I'm just kidding. Thanks a lot, Brandon.
Thank you for having me.
You have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Brandon Baker, graphic artist for John Force Racing. What a great interview he is. We're live right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway, Indianapolis, Indiana, and it is the Mack Tools National. I know my minions. You're like, where's the rest of my sports? Well, I can tell you one thing. We can give you a score update with Notre Dame. 13-0 up above Navy. Here we go, Cliff. How about that?
Well, come on, man. There's some bad high school teams that could
Texas
beat Navy.
Plays later on.
IBFW.
They don't have football teams. Hey, Cliff went to Taylor, so we can find their score later.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're going to take a break, and I know that our behind the scenes gal Michelle is trying to locate our next guest, but obviously coming up here at I believe 10:45. Yeah, 10:45 is Courtney Force, and going to have that's we went to go find them.
No, 10:30. That's the 10:30. Courtney's 10:45.
Yeah, I can't read the schedule.
Sorry.
I know Courtney's going to be in here. I mean, that's really all I came
She'll
to.
She'll be here, right?
That's all.
Wow, that's all he talks. I mean, look at all these great guests that we have, and on his blog, Courtney Force, first thing he puts. He doesn't even put Pete and Cliff. He puts Courtney Force, and then we're like on page 5 on the back after being subsectioned in a newspaper, 3 different areas. Story.
Well, you know, you don't Twitter. Anyway.
Oh, no, it was on his blog. I get an email to me.
Well, you know what? I don't even write my own press releases. So.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So we need to talk to Michelle
people.
About that?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's right. You can
He's
talk
got
to
people who can
I
do
got
things,
who
takes
things.
Care of stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
The only thing I do is talk, and I have a very good knack for that, and that's about it. Guys, we're going to take a break. We get right back. We're going to be live again right here at Mack Tools U.S. National, Lucas Oil Raceway.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right. Welcome back to Lucas Oil Raceway. My name's Tom Marquis, my minion, El Presidente. And joining us as usual, you going to be all right there, Pete?
Well, I had to run back. I've had to pee since Fishers, okay? And I thought we would have had 10 minutes when we got here, but because me and the running joke, if Cliff was here, I'd say F7, he would start laughing. The biggest joke is if you look at my keyboard, there's so much oil on the F7 because I'm that bad of a speller. I misspelled one of our producers' names. And she's trying to get her credentials. I can't find them. And I pulled out her last name's not Bales. I put Boyles. So A and O is.
You even misspelled our producer's last name.
I didn't know that.
Or misspelled it.
D-U-R-R is what I thought it was. I didn't know it was D-E-R-R.
You know, I get carbon in on all these emails. But
yeah,
I know.
I
have to admit, I don't read them.
I don't read a lot of
I
stuff.
I got people, man.
Here's what somebody says. You'd be perfect for Twitter, Pete. Somebody sends me an email. If you don't get to the point in the first three sentences, I don't read all the way sometimes. I got in trouble at my last radio job because I wasn't reading fully through emails. I'd read it, like, okay, got it, do it, and I'd run with it, and nope.
You know, I remember the days back in radio when before there was email, before there was computer. We used to have and I'm sure you know this. We used to have cart machines.
Yep.
You actually had to take the magnetic thing and all the songs you had to load up on
and
carts.
For, and for people don't know, a cart, it looks like an 8-track, uh-huh. But it's a 4-track, almost the same size, works on the same principle where there's a magnetic high tone that stops mm-hmm. it at a certain point, and when you hit start, it will play it till the next tone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And there are people at home going, huh, what? How does that work on the iPod or iPad?
What's an
8-track? You know what's really funny? As I said that to Brandon, John's got an 8-track in his Mustang, a 2011 or 2012 Mustang with an 8-track in it.
Custom built.
Yeah, I can see him doing that. As Cliff comes in, it's his favorite song.
Hashtag do not sing in public.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hashtag is a tweet thing. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Everybody
I know.
Will be talking about the same thing. We'll hashtag a lot. Well, Cliff, did you go to the same location that Pete just went to?
Yeah, but he was going down different doors.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
I actually had some fans stop me and ask me, you know,
so
the qualifying and all that. No, 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 no.
Oh, okay.
Race fans, not sport fans. No, 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 no.
Hey, we've got a fan base. I don't know them, but
we've
got one.
Well, they're out there racing the lower classes, and they wanted to know what the two numbers meant.
The ET and versus reaction.
What they have to have, and you know,
yeah.
Did you enlighten them?
Yes.
Because see, now the minions want to know. What does that mean?
Essentially, in the lower classes, there's a speed that you have to maintain, or you have to hit that or below it in order to qualify and go on to the next round. Now, these are the lower classes. You're talking the Camaros and the older style cars, the top alcohol and stuff like that. But they have two numbers because obviously, when Pete was talking about the Escort earlier, you will have situations where, you know, the smaller car gets the head start and they come down and people think, oh, well, he beat him. He's automatic. No, he's not automatically. He has to be below that average number in order to be qualified and go to the next round.
Is it to keep him from what's called sandbagging? So
right,
it's like, okay, I'll hold off, and then the final round I will slam it.
Yeah, it keeps from cheating and sandbagging. You can't, you have to hit that certain level or low.
So really, you could lose and be the fastest car out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, that's an interesting bit of trivia. I did not know that.
Yep.
So it's really more of about this race, I think, is more about strategy than any other race because you only got a few seconds, but it is you do have to. So talk about the scoring. How does that go about?
Well, the scoring as far as how they get the points, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Russians, you know, their scores. Belgium and the U.S., they give you tens and all that. The Russians really hate it.
Yeah, it's always the Japanese that screw
up. Yeah, the Japs. Yeah. Oh, God. Dude, why did I think of that? The Germans and the Japs don't like it.
you can earn points for, Pete was talking about the hole shot. You can earn points for that. You can earn points for the highest qualifying. Obviously, the more that, you get points as you qualify and go in the elimination round, you get points and you get more points and you get more points. But you can actually get a ton of bonus points by, being the best off the line, being the best at the end. Obviously, the whole shot, the qualifying is huge. I mean, and that's how Schumacher has vaulted back up into the top 2 points in points. So, there's just so many ways you can get points. And I don't know exactly what the points are, and I apologize for that. I've studied everything about NHRA except that, so I apologize for that. So,
now, as far as points and standings and championships, how does this race stack up as far as points in the overall scheme of the championship race for the NHRA?
Well, obviously, when you're looking at points, it's the same points everywhere, unless you get the bonus points. I mean, it's just like in NASCAR. Your first place guy gets 48 points, last guy gets one. It's basically the same thing. Where the points are going to be important here is you've got 3 to 5 drivers in each class that's on the bubble. So you want to get as many points as you can because, again, they take the top 10 in each division. So I guess you could say the bottom line is the points at the U.S. National, MacTools U.S. Nationals here at Lucas Oil are going to be more important than anywhere else, well, except for the last race when it comes to the championship. And we saw 2 classes that came down to the final race, and I'm talking actually elimination race for somebody to be made a champion.
Now, NHRA, we talk about some of the legends that in NASCAR and, of course, IndyCar. Talk to me about some of the legends in NHR. You think of names like Gary Beck and Richard Tharp and some of those. Talk to me about some of the legends in this race.
Well, you got the Colettas that have been around for a long time. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody talks about the Forces, but you forget about the Coletta. Dodd Prudhomme was actually one of the greatest funny car guys until John Force came along, and he basically just took over for Dodd Prudhomme.
Don Garlitz.
Don Garlitz, thank you. That's
the one
I was
in the room.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Don Garlitz, I mean, Shirley Muldowney, I mean, opened up the door big time for Eric Anders and Alex DeJorio. And
she was the first female to win a U.S. Nationals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was. So, there's a lot of legends out there. Bernstein's
Kenny
some
Bernstein,
other guys.
Yeah, that's another one. Obviously, it was Kenny Bernstein in my mind, and then you have John Force, which is now – pretty dominating the sport as it is, as at least in the funny car.
What's amazing, when I started, I really didn't know much about the NHRA until my mother then met and married my stepfather, who was into it, and it was kind of, he always talked to me about it, and that was in the 90s. And John was a huge force then. And imagine this, in 2012, we're still talking about how this guy wins championships. He just won a championship 2 years ago, his 15th one. And he's in, the guy's a grandfather. He's got four beautiful children, that, and some of them are taking and following in their father's footsteps. And Cliff, you've got daughters. I have a daughter. You have a son or a daughter?
I have a son. He's 23.
Okay, just
I have
just
a granddaughter though.
But speaking from the father with daughters thing, how great is that? That they're saying, "Daddy, I want to be like you." Yes, it's a male sports tend to be male dominated, but you know what? I'm going to go through and I mean, when I came down here for the U.S. Nationals 2 years ago and watched the final, it was Courtney versus John. I'm going, man, what?
Father, daughter, yeah.
Well,
exactly.
No, think about that. That was Courtney's second year. And yes, they've raced against each other, but they're racing against each other for the U.S. Nationals win. Man, as a father, I mean, first of all, you're there as a race car driver thinking, but then you're like, oh my God, my baby's right next to me. And you want to do good for them, but then it's the whole, no, she's got to do it on her own and all that. That just adds pressure right there. It's like, how do you take down Hercules, have his daughter race against him?
Well, you know, you talk about him, but you talk about Tony Schumacher.
Oh, yeah.
2011, he won 8 of those races at the U.S. Nationals. I mean, and he's just an awesome guy. Greg Anderson, another guy down in the pro stock. He's a guy that's been around for a long time. You know, we're going to be talking later on today to the Vance and Hind boys. You know, Terry Vance, Dave Schultz. Dave Schultz in the motorcycles from 1985 to 93, he won 6 of those races in pro stock. So, I mean, there's a lot of legends here, and there's more to be made. God, we know that. But the forces, you know, there's always going to be big. Schumacher's, Coletta. I mean, how could you not talk about those guys? And let's talk about the Pendergrounds, too. I mean,
I was going to say, I was going to lead into the next thing. Another thing, look at how family names and families follow on this. You got the forces, you got the Colettas. Was there more than one Bernstein?
There was Kenny is the only one.
Kenny's, okay.
The main one. I mean,
okay,
right.
But I thought there was another. And then you got the Pendergrounds. I mean, how cool is it that this is a family thing? I mean, if you look at John Force Racing, take Mike Neff out of it, the three drivers there, they're all related. A lot of people don't know Robert Height is actually John Force's son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to his oldest daughter. So,
well, what a lot of people, I'm sure, realize, you know, you come to a racetrack, you see all the motor coaches, and I mean, they all travel together. I mean, they do battle out there on the track, and sometimes, you know, back in the old days, you did some bare knuckle stuff, but now these days they pretty much keep it under wrap. But you know, you still got tensions, but they're a big family, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so you know, they grow up. You know, you look at Courtney growing up, and this is all she knows, and it's only a natural step for them to step into it. Well, let's talk about some of the new and exciting things that are coming up in 2013. Obviously, Mellow Yellow making its appearance in the NHRA. Who's going to be in the Mellow Yellow car?
You know, I don't even know.
I just
caught that press release this morning,
mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure who's going to be in it. But I will say this: I'm shocked.
Which Mellow camp? Who's got it? And what is it? Top Fuel or is it Funny Car?
It's the, one of the new sponsors.
It's going to be the sponsor of the NHRA. Period.
Yeah. So it's going to be the Mellow Yellow instead of the Full Throttle Energy.
Right. Right,
gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, well, you know, we were talking about Bernsteins and the new and upcoming Bernstein, Brandon Bernstein, in the family there. Talk to us a little bit about him.
Brandon is an up-and-coming guy. I mean, he just needed a little bit of time. You know, he's got a little bit to learn, but he's been – the last few races, he's starting to come up a little bit. So he comes from a Bernstein family, man. Well, I mean, it's just going to be amazing.
Well, let's talk about some of the top drivers that we're going to see in the different series. Obviously, Funny Car, Pro Stock. Talk to us about across the series, across the board, who are the top drivers who we're going to see and who are really have a lot to compete for here at the MAC Nationals.
Well, I mean, I guess we could start with Funny Car since you brought that up. I mean, Ron Capps has a 53-point lead over Robert Height. And, you know, again, we talked about how Robert Height went on that run
early
in the season. And, you know, he hasn't been doing so well, but yet he stays up there. Beckman, Johnny Gray, Mike Neff, Courtney Force, Cruz Pendergrand, John Force, Jeff Aaron, Bob Taskett III, he's one of my favorite guys, man. I don't know what it is about that guy, but he's pretty
awesome.
It's
the Boston accent.
He's at 10th, but he's going to have to, you know, those bottom three or four, I mean, even John Force is going to be racing, because if John Force goes out early, he's not going to make the cut. So those are some of the other guys that we're going to be looking for.
Well,
go ahead.
And I was going to say, another thing to add to that, one other thing that's happened this season is how many races did we have, guys that you mentioned there in the top five, didn't qualify for a race?
Ron Capps, there was two.
Cruz Pendragon had two that he didn't qualify for. And where's he at in the points?
Cruz is number seven.
Seven. So he's in it. The guy doesn't make two races, and he's in it. Imagine that in any other series. But the cool thing is it shows you that on any day, the one thing, and somebody brought it up on one of our shows earlier, the great thing about this is you either make it or you don't. None of this, oh, well, he's in points, so he automatically gets the last place qualifier and gets in. I mean, that's the great thing about it.
Well, let's take a look at last year's winner, champion.
Oh,
Matt Hagan, and he's sitting in 11th, and he's going to have to race hard
today.
And he's had, what, three races he didn't qualify for, and two, he went out early.
Right.
So he's had to come back a little bit on that, too. So it's going to be a big battle, but, you know, there's something about John Force. He gets focused when he knows he has to be somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and he'll make the chase. Some of the other guys, I'm not so sure, but I think the entire Force camp's going to make it.
Oh, absolutely. And you look over there at the funding car, and we keep talking about Courtney Force. But, you know, I also on top of her, you know, you look at drivers like Blake Alexander,
right.
and I think by far he's certainly one of the top drivers to look at. And, you know, we get caught up in the Forces and the Schumachers, but you look at Blake Alexander, who's had a great season. Really, and so what are your thoughts about it? I think, honestly, he's somebody to watch here at the Mac Nationals this year.
Well, he has. I mean, he's shown some great promise. And you always like to see a kid like that. And it's hard for a kid like that because it's just like any other racing. You got your top-tier teams. You got your lower teams. A kid like that learns. He's going to get a good ride. They get his car together. He's going to zoom to the top. And I give him 2 years, and he'll be battling for championships.
We'll talk a little bit about the motorcycles. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, obviously, for fun. And, you know, you look at names like Mike Berry and Hector Herrera.
Arana.
If it's a Brazilian,
senior
name, I'm going to make the best that I can. I was talking about Junior, but, yeah,
senior is
another one as well. And we were talking about the female racers. You know, Don, what's her last name? Mentum. Don Mentum.
Yes.
In the pro stock motorcycle, that to me, you talk about the women being involved in racing. You know, we just got done with the MotoGP here in Indianapolis. To me, I got a lot of respect for those guys that can not only the MotoGP but the pro stock motorcycles. Fantastic. To me, I'm not worthy. So, you know, the battle of the sexes continue over there. And Riddell Harris as well is somebody to have it in good conversations with the Pro Stock motorcycles.
Well, again, and the unfortunate thing right now with Pro Stock motorcycles, if you don't own a Harley, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, Harley has won every race this year. And, you know, they started off dominating, and they even made the bike heavier, and they're still killing
winning.
Everybody. So. But, yeah, you talk about the ladies coming in. I mean, look at Karen Stauffer, and you talk about respect. What was it, three races ago, I believe, that she won the race, and she had to basically take herself out because the brakes failed on her motorcycle, and she actually hit the sand at the end of the raceway.
It was at Norwalk. The issue with that was she was top qualifier. She didn't win the race. She was
top qualifier
and didn't get to race because – there, and that's an issue we want to talk about for 2013 is, are they going to do something there at the end of Norwalk? And to fill you and the minions in, basically imagine the track, and then at the end of it, you've obviously got your stretch of another 1,000, 1,500 feet of pavement. She had no brakes and no parachute, and she kept going. And what's behind there? A cornfield. And she basically had to lay it down, and it was a wrist. You said that
she screwed up her wrist.
And all that. And if you look at some of the other tracks, like if you look at Bristol, they go down, you obviously have your track, then you have your slowdown, they have a little bit of a sand, and then they have a netting that even if a bike goes into it, it's safe for the driver. It's one of those that it grabs it, and it will gradually slow it down. Where, and best way to put it, it'd be like going into a bungee cage thing to where it'll slow it down and then bring it to a stop. It's not like, oh, there's a net and bam, they slam into it. No, they're going to have to address that at Norwalk, and I don't know if any other tracks have that. But, yeah, she took a really, really bad dump on that one. So, and that would have been great to see her.
And that's wreck dump, not dump.
Well, no.
She took a really bad dump.
Well,
I mean, you know, Pete, I mean.
No, digging this hole is oh, please. First of all, what do you call it when you lay a bike down? You call it dumping or rolling it or laying it down and all that. And I'm trying to stay with the motorcycling. Just like the people on motorcycles don't like to be called drivers, they're riders, okay?
That's right. Well, you know, it's okay, Pete. I mean, everybody dumps every now and then.
Oh, man. Wow, that sounds like a book I had to read to my daughter.
Well, you know, we talk about, and when we look at IndyCar, we look at the crossovers, right? Obviously, we got to bring it up. Once a week, we bring up Danica, and, you know, it's always who's going to be the first one
I
to
heard
bring
she's
up.
She's going to be in. Funny car.
There's going to be another funny car. You know, our producer's over there shaking her head. She is not a Danica fan. She is a huge IndyCar fan, but she is not a Danica fan. A lot of people aren't. But what I'm saying is you see the crossover, obviously, from IndyCar over to NASCAR. I don't see anybody coming over to NHRA.
Well,
Kurt Busch tried.
I was going to say,
Kurt
Busch
tried it once.
Tried being the opposite word there.
And
he did
Richard
it on
Petty tried it as well.
Yeah.
So they'll try it, but the problem is, you know, unless you come up from the ranks of the bottom and learn what those cars do, jumping from a NASCAR going, you know, back in Richard Petty's day, 160, 150 miles an hour, and then jumping into a car that goes 300, that scares the bejesus out of them boys because, I mean, you know, let's talk about the fact that with the safety in NASCAR and all that stuff, and they go into, back in the early days, into these dragsters and get in those things, and it's even smaller for them, and I think it just scares them. And it's, I don't think you can actually put the two together. You can't turn right, you can't turn left, you know, and then jump into something that goes straight. I mean, you can still turn right or left and try to miss the wall, but you're doing it in, what, 6 seconds or less.
Which brings us up to a very interesting question here. You know, we talked when Courtney was on our show before a few weeks ago. We talked about how she saw her dad in many wrecks. And when you see a wreck here at Lucas Oil and across the nation, obviously they go across cities all over in the series, but they're here. When you see a wreck, you see a wreck, and so it's not really as simple as, hey, you know, we get the safety crew out there. It could go real bad real quick.
And it can. We saw one last year.
Yeah.
The guy hit the wall right out at the start finish line. If you step where we're at, if you step outside,
you
of
mean
the
finish line,
the media box. I'm sorry, the finish line.
Their start lines there, their finish is different.
Sorry, I'm used to talking start finish. Anyway, he lost control and banged off the wall and came into the outer wall in lane one, and that car totally disintegrated. It caught fire a little bit. And that guy still got out. I thought for sure he was going to take a hospital ride. But you're right, man. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, let's look at last year. John Force going down, and you know, he didn't even wreck, but the whole body comes off. Could you imagine that?
Oh, it became a convertible.
Yeah,
that was the joke.
You're seeing him go like this, and his eyes are huge. But, man, think about it. 300 miles an hour, if you're in a top fuel, you're dead.
Look at how ESPN starts every broadcast this year of the finals. They show Ron Capps' car totally. It looked like an implosion. It's like, poof. And the funny thing I was going to ask Brandon is, like, if you look at it, it kind of broke apart in the seams of the final that he was using. It's amazing that it came off because it looked like quarter panels separated because there was that much pressure. And think about it. They're standing behind that, and all you see is that. And then to throw in the picture of Alexis DeJoria's eyes, that tells you what these guys are doing. They're, like, looking like that, wide-eyed as can be.
No, absolutely. And so you look at G-forces. Let's talk a little bit about that. And I know Kenny would be the guy I usually go to on that, but Kenny's in the chair there.
he told me that he may call in.
I haven't seen him call in yet. So, I mean,
he did text me. He's having some issues with where he's at. He's in Michigan today, so he's having a hard time getting through. So I just want to let you know.
Well, that's fine, and we would love to. So we're going to refer to you, Cliff. G-forces, this car as compared to IndyCar, where does that come into play, or does it at all in this series?
Well, sure it does. I mean, you know, you can watch it. sometimes when you see close-ups in some of the clips and stuff you see on ESPN, things like that, I mean, when you look at a NASCAR, you look at IRL, you build your speed to get up to a certain point. You know, sometimes depending on the track, it takes a lap. Sometimes it takes a little bit more, depending, again, especially on super speedways. It takes a while to get going. Here, the G-forces smack you, and they're going to be a lot heavier because you're starting and going all that way in, again, you know, 4 seconds,
yeah.
3 seconds. And I mean, you could see, I mean, just watch. You know, anybody can watch TV or go to YouTube and check them out. As soon as they take off, that head goes back into the seat. And it just, I mean, I can't even imagine, but it's got to be a great feeling.
Well, we learned this from Spencer Massey when we interviewed him the first time. He said that when you take off, you're actually experiencing more G-forces than the space shuttle at
right.
its best while it's still in low in gravity. They're feeling that more in the first part of it. And 0 to 60 for a car, we measure it in feet. They measure it in inches. They're at 60 miles an hour within like 18 inches or something of the of things. It's like once that tire's made 3 revolutions, they're up there. It's an amazing amount of speed that they're getting to.
Well, I've always thought that these team owners can make a lot of money by letting us pay $100 and letting us go down the track.
Yeah, that would be nice, except it would cost them thousands of dollars to repair. Because I know if I went down that
or
thing
insurance, one time. Or liability. Sign this book of waivers
yeah.
before you get in here.
Hold on, we need to measure you for your casket.
But you know what? That's a good idea. I think we need to talk to Scott Smith about that and some of the NHRA boys. You know, I mean, you got Mario Andretti.
In the
takes
two cars. Two-seater. Yeah.
You got people that can get in a, you know, pace car or ride around in, you know, in a car. Why not in NHRA?
Or better yet, we just build a zip line over the top of the thing. And when the green light goes, you go zipping and you race the dragsters.
Yeah, because a
now
body can handle
would be
that.
A blast.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? You know, we're talking about these high-performance race cars, and we joke about it, but really in a sport that I think really relies heavily on the equipment. So I ask you, is it the driver or is it the car or is it the car itself? Is it, in other words, do we need a great driver or a great car?
You need both, and a little bit of luck. I mean, let's be honest. You know, when you're taking a car going from zero to that many miles an hour, I mean, 318, in such a short time, timing is going to be huge. But if you don't have a good engine, you don't have a good car. You know, and a lot of people don't realize this, it could be ill handling. You still got to, you know, use that steering wheel to keep that thing straight no matter what you do. But a great car is number one, yes. You got to have the car to win. A great driver, I mean, you can see all the great drivers that are on top of the points. No matter what division you look at, those guys are always going to be up there because they can take a car that may not be the best car out there, but they can go down there and win the race. But luck has something to do with it, too. I mean, you know, trying to get the timing of the light just right so that you can get the head start, whether something's going to fail on the car. I mean, we've seen blown tires. We've seen, you know, pistons or whatever go blow up. I mean, it just depends. But the best way to say it is you need a great driver and a great car at the same time, and those are usually the guys that are going to dominate.
But the great thing about it is also – This is a sport where there is the haves and have-nots, but there are times where the have-nots can actually win. The Topeka race is an example. I don't remember the guy who won it, but it's one of the lesser teams where it's like, wow, he had 4 great rounds and he beat everybody.
Well, obviously, we're hoping that we're going to get this race in. As we said a while ago, we're hoping that. You know, it rains. We could get some more great interviews, and I know that Michelle's out looking for our guests now. So hopefully we'll get some more people in the Clint Eastwood chair. We're gonna call it the Clint Eastwood chair. I gotta admit though, that was. I mean, I don't know whose brainy idea that was.
Don't ruin it for me, okay? I've got a DVR.
You got a DVR.
I'm gonna watch it on TiVo when I get home.
Oh, you've almost had a pinger.
How interesting is it to ride around all day listening to radio and all they do is talk about it but not know what they're talking about? And most of them didn't even play it. It's like, oh.
Oh, I've been hearing, you know.
You hear
a clip
here and there.
I watch most of the speech. And quite honestly, nobody put him up to it. That's something he did. It was all
improv, and he was only supposed to get 6 minutes. He did 12, and then he hears like, oh, they had to cut this film and that little thing, and people weren't happy. But it's like, okay, I gotta watch this.
It's Clint Eastwood.
I was gonna say it's Clint Eastwood. You Clint. Just don't, yeah.
You don't ever say no. And you know, 82 years old, and at the Republican National Convention, I don't know. I enjoyed it. You know, I was it was, you know, this is not a political show, but you know, it's news, right? It's sports. It has become a sporting event.
Hey, well, it was at Tropicana Field, so there.
Not only that, but you also got to look. He's got a new film coming out that he, you know, teaches kids how to play baseball. So it turns in perfect.
Absolutely, Clint Eastwood for president.
I think John Wayne has something to say about that because he's coming back. You know, they reincarnate, you know.
I'm just curious, in the presidential debates this year, and, you know, obviously we know we got Romney, we got Obama, and we're going to have an empty chair. Where the media members, mainstream media members like CNN might actually ask that empty chair a question and wait for the answer. I'm sorry, Mitt, your time – it's not your time yet, Mitt.
I was just saying, and then you know, Ron Paul people would say, that's Ron Paul's chair. You're denying him his spot.
You're a Ron Paul guy, aren't you? I can see it.
You want to hear what's funny? I actually voted for Ron Paul in the primary because, like, when my vote doesn't matter, then I will vote for the most outrageous one whenever it comes to primaries, just to say that, you know what, where I live, I hate the fact that when it gets to us, there's never a choice.
First of all, your vote always matters.
Yes, I know. Always. No, but my vote, doing that said.
People take that attitude too much and don't go out.
But I still go there. Remember,
as Clint said, they are our employees. They work for us. We don't work for them.
That's right.
Wow.
You don't do the job, you fire.
And you want to give a score update?
Yeah, score
Let's
update.
Let's go to the 2 minutes, 46
Notre
seconds
Dame.
Left in the second quarter.
Notre Dame, I tell you what, is over there in Ireland, 20-0. Well. You know what it is. The Navy, the midshipmen, take a ship over. They probably went out last night to Dublin because you know they don't have the 21.
I know.
All there, and you have to be, I think, 18, maybe even 5. I'm
no, actually,
sure.
there is no drinking age in Dublin.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to be a responsible parent if you give your son, here, have a little bit of beer, and wash it down with your potato.
Well, not bad considering that was Swedish, but anyway.
Actually, that was supposed to be German. I was thinking Germany. Unda Bieren.
Okay.
Wait. We've had me do an Irish accent before on the radio.
Isn't it time for a break?
We're getting ready to go there. I did. As we go into the break, obviously, the NASCAR guys are in Atlanta. IndyCar is up in Baltimore. Any thoughts on those two races, real quick, as we go into a break?
Well, Will Power. I mean, he's looking strong over there in the IRL. Atlanta, Tony Stewart comes back from his famed helmet-tossing incident to take the pole for Atlanta tomorrow night.
So. Oh, I thought he was trying out for the Braves because they need pitching, God knows.
But, it'll be interesting to see what's going on.
All right, we're going to take a break. And we get back, guys, we got a lot more headed on your way right here at the Mac Tools U.S. Nationals Live. We'll be right back.
I got 2 miles till he makes bills. And if I'm right, we're headed straight for him.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
From early morning till late into the night.
It's a whole new way of life.
24/7, the hits are not nonstop.
Let's hear it. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
I ain't no fiend, just a bean has been. Chillin' out the villain, hey, you know what I mean. Got a kick-ass message for your Halloween screen. Got any doubt? Check this out. Give me some skin.
Welcome back here to the Mac Tools U.S. Nationals. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, guys. It is so good to have you guys on board with us, my minions. And I tell you what, we're having a great time. We've had a great time with Brandon Baker, graphic artist for John Force Racing as well. And coming up here shortly, we've got Courtney Force going to join us as well. But right now, we've got two great guys joining us, Andrew Hines and Ed Kravick. Did I say that right?
Kravick.
I do apologize. I messed everybody's names up. You know, the funniest story, and we'll get to this real quick. IndyCar was interviewing Alex Tagliani. First time I didn't know how to say his name. He said, just say Tag. It'll be all right. So so if you got a nickname you want us to use, but you guys, we've dubbed those chairs the Clint Eastwood chairs. So, you know, when it's empty, it's the Clint Eastwood chairs. So if you miss the major, do you guys know what we're talking about?
Not 100%.
Oh, okay.
They were busy racing.
We were busy racing while we were sitting
on our butts drinking beer and watching the Republican convention.
Basically, in the Republican convention, Clint Eastwood gets up there to give a speech, and he was talking to Obama in an empty chair right next to him. So the empty chair has been known as the Clint Eastwood chair. So we had to do that for our minions out there, because we have some very warped minions out there. Well, welcome to The Balance, guys. Glad you could take time out of your very busy schedule to talk with us. Cliff?
Well, guys, I mean, obviously, you guys are at the top of the points coming into Indianapolis. You guys have been battling out even last year, and now you got the Arana boys. Talk about this year and how Harley-Davidson, even though they made you make some changes to your bikes, is still so dominant.
Well, we've had a good year so far, obviously. You know, you can't bat an eye at what we've done this year with winning 9 races in a row. And dating back to last year, we won the last 2 races, so that's 11 in a row for our Screaming Eagle Harley team. So, you know, we did have some adversity placed upon us after Gainesville, after Eddie went out there and crushed the world and went 675.
Blames it on me. It's all
my
fault.
It's been my fault in the past for getting us weight, and now it's his turn. So,
oh, well, there we go.
All's fair in love and racing.
I guess it's a good thing, though.
he can claim that one. But, you know, they threw 20 pounds on us after Gainesville, and we were still able to come out. And Matt made the right calls with placing the weight on the bike to help the chassis work a little better. You know, it obviously slowed us down. It's just a law of physics. But we were able to overcome that and find a few more horsepower on the dyno. And, you know, the rest is history. We've been able to win the 8 races after that. So Eddie's won 6 this year. I've won 3, and I'm hoping to get at least 6 more here.
Well, Eddie, talk about, you know, you guys are obviously teammates, and you guys have been battling out, you know, the last few years. But this year, I mean, you're definitely doing the same thing again. Talk about how you guys get along, and since he blames you for everything, do you blame him for it?
Yeah, sure do. But, you know, the most important thing is getting together and working as a team. And that's really the tough part, is gelling. You know, we have 5 guys on our teams. There's some guys that have 5, 6, 7 guys for just one vehicle or one motorcycle. And we have 5, and we run 2 out of our camp. Basically, the way it ends up working out is Andrew has our engine guy, Scott, as his crew guy, and I have our truck guy, our truck driver, Ray, who works with me, and then we have Matt that makes the tuning calls. He's our crew chief, and we all work together, you know. So as the success side of it, yes, Andrew and I get most of it, but as a team side of it, we wouldn't be sitting here right now if it wasn't, you know, for those other 3 guys. And, you know, we all work well together. We're with each other, you know, probably 150-plus days a year out on the road, as well as, you know, spending all the time together in the shop. So you need to get along, and you need to all sort of gel together and make sure everything works out. Just like anything, Andrew and I are both competitive. You know, we love when each other wins, but it's also one of those things you want to win also. So it's that competitive nature that keeps you driving forward. And I think for each one of us, we push each other to be better. When we race each other, we feel we're each other's biggest competition. And it's no offense to anybody else in the class, or not that you're downgrading, but we both know what each one of us have. We both know what we're capable of, and that's the way that we push each other. We both go out there. We made probably the last 2 races, we've made, I would say, 7 runs side by side with one another. and, you know, all of our margins of victories are, you know, within a thou or, you know, within a couple thou. And that shows you, you know, you're going after the tree and you both have good bikes. So it's definitely makes it a little more interesting and a little fun. So it's also that competitiveness. And it's a good thing to be like that because, like you say, I think it helps keep you on your toes.
Well, let me ask you that. We'll go to Andrew on this one. You talk about that. Do you guys worry about making mistakes when you race each other? I mean, obviously, getting off and getting a hole shot or getting off on the timing. When you guys race each other, I know you say you love the competition, but does it put any more added pressure on you?
It's actually easier when we race each other.
Really?
Because we know at that point that one of our Screaming Eagle V-Rods is going to go to the next round. It's probably more difficult to race each other in qualifying because our team is split up. You know, Matt, being the crew chief, he wants to see what both bikes are doing off the starting line. And with us only having five guys, Matt's on Eddie's side of the track, and I got Scott on my side of the track, and Ray's jumping, switching back and forth, filming one bike or the other. So we never get both bikes in the same round of qualifying when we race each other. So it's an unfortunate circumstance when we run each other in qualifying because Matt's not seeing the data as one run and then the next run. He's got to decipher it from kind of saw from the other lane. And but when we go into race day, you know, once we race each other, then it's, you know, we're gritting our teeth trying to get the win. And, you know, we both want to get that win light. But in the ultimate scheme of things, we want to perform for our Harley-Davidson fans, and we want them to have the best bike going forward. So even if one of us knows that the other one's down a couple hundredths or a little mile an hour, as long as the better bike gets to the finish line and has a chance of bringing home the Wally that day, that's the ultimate goal. You know, we always talk about picking up each other's slack. So if one bike goes out early, the other one's just, it's got to go on to win. That's the way we look at it.
You feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's one of the things. we look at it as, you know, it's one of those pressure things. You want to win. You want to go out there and win. So when one guy loses, it's like the other one's like, oh, man, I gotta go out there. I got to do this. And, you know, that's our goal, is to win every single race. It's not that, you know, we go to a race saying, hey, we hope we qualify. Hey, hope we go one or two rounds here. No, we want to win every single race regardless. And I laugh when I say it, but it's going that way. It's been a crazy year for us. You know, when our team can turn around and say we've had the season that we've had so far and we're just sort of coming to the end of preseason, as I'd like to call it.
Right.
We haven't hit the finals yet. But, you know, it's an awesome year. It's been phenomenal, and it's a dream season. And Andrew and I just, you know, we're enjoying it right now. We got great motorcycles under us. Matt's making all the right tuning calls, and we're riding really well. And that's the key thing here, is less mistakes. And as riders, that's what we strive to do. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to perform. And it's not outside pressure. It's not anybody else. It's ourselves giving each other pressure. We're probably the two hardest people on ourselves in our whole camp out of anybody. And when either one of us makes a mistake or messes up, you know, we have each other's shoulder to not lean on, but sort of be there for. And you know, you just want to make no mistakes. If you lose that weekend and you had great reaction times and you had a fast bike, but somebody happened to sneak in there and, you know, grab your wind light, so be it. You did your job. You can walk around and smile and hold your head up.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, Tom.
Go ahead, go ahead.
We know you're locked into the countdown, obviously. Would each of you guys just tell us in a few words why or what does the U.S. Nationals, winning the U.S. Nationals, mean to you guys?
Well, I've never been fortunate enough to find that Monday winner circle here. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I usually.
What do you want it to mean? Let's put it that way.
Well, I want to say I usually do good at rained out events. So, you know,
I totally forgot about that.
So do we.
And it's raining. And it's raining. So keep coming up. But. You know, the Monday or Tuesday events usually treat me well, and you know, this is the one event I was fortunate enough to win in 2007 when we had our Ringer Pro Bike Battle. I got the big check, but I didn't get the Monday winner circle. And you know, this is that one race when everybody says, "Hey, what race do you want to win?" You know, short of winning your hometown race, I happen to win Englishtown this year, and I have a lot of history and everything from growing up and being track manager at Englishtown. So Englishtown was sort of my Indy, but Indy is Indy, you know, and that's the only way to explain it. when you go up to somebody and you say, hey, you know, are you going to the races this weekend? And you said, I'm going to, you know, Chicago or I'm going to Indy. They're gonna look and be like, oh, Indy, you know, right away. I mean, Indy is just a racing history town. You drive around here, all the local businesses, everywhere you go, everybody supports racing. And I really honestly don't think that there's another town in this whole entire country that has the racing heritage and history and, you know, that just the townspeople stand behind the race. So, you know, just to be a part of that, it's a very electric atmosphere.
Now, Andrew and Ed, both you guys had great career seasons last year. Indianapolis, Pomona, both of you guys did well. Championships, obviously you guys had a fantastic year. That's 2011. This is 2012. You guys are having a great season this year. Obviously you are, as you just said, here in Indianapolis. Tell us about your strategy here at the Mack Tools National in Indianapolis.
Well, we came out here last week and tested on Wednesday, and our whole goal for that test session was to come out here and break in some tires. Years back, you know, tires would only last somewhere between 6 to 12 runs. And now, with the way that the tire compounds have been changed, they've reshaped the tire a little bit, they don't get good until 15 runs. And we can put anywhere from 40 to 60 on them. I think I actually had one tire that went 70. So
wow.
We came out here last week to break in a couple tires because we had the two tires on them recently that had 30 and 40 runs respectively that we want to save for the countdown. So we're trying to get prepared for that, and we ran in a couple motors. We left Brainerd, went to the shop, changed both motors and the bike on Tuesday, threw everything back together, changed tires, came out here Wednesday, and both made four hits to shake down the tires, break in some new chains, test the new motors to see how they were going to run. They had some new parts in them. We wanted to make sure that they were going to be safe. And everything played out well. We were still quickest of the test session, and you know, we achieved what we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
We got the four runs on there. We kept those tires on for this event. And so hopefully if we get four more qualifying runs, that'll be nine runs on those tires before Monday. And those tires will be good to go come the countdown. And, you know, we'll be styling. It'll be exactly what we wanted to do. And we got all the motors freshened up at the shop this past week. Scott, our engine guy, went through five of our six engines to make sure that all the parts are fresh, all the belts are changed, new valve springs, valve jobs, pistons, rods, cranks, etc.
New
transmissions.
That's,
you know,
important.
We have a lifespan, life expectancy on each part in the motor, so he goes through and keeps track of every single run we make on every engine, and you know, he has a time frame for belts, pistons, rods, crank. Transmissions are the key thing. You know, they're about 30 run life expectancy, but you know, some gears, if the track's bad or don't hit the setup quite right, you only get, you know, 5 to 10 runs out of one gear. You start ripping teeth off and things like that. So luckily, you know, everything played out well with the test session, and we came out here, and I was number one qualifier on the first session, and, you know, get some more runs. I don't think that 92 is going to stick, but we have a great chance of still staying number one.
Who's your biggest competitor, rather? Is it a woman? Karen?
right now, the Iranas are the biggest competitors. You know, they definitely have their stuff together with their Lucas Oil Buells, and they've been keeping us honest all year long. They've been real fast, and we've just been a little more consistent on race day. That's been the key to our victories. You know, we probably had, you know, about the same bikes last year. It's just this year, everything's playing into our hands just a little bit better. You know, people are being late on the tree, and I won a couple final rounds and hole shots in my three wins this year. And the other one was a red light. So, you know, all my wins this year came on the starting line. It's a little different than we had last year, you know. We would just miss it here and there, and, you know, our bike would slow down. We're just a lot more consistent come second round. Last year we were struggling with consistency problems going into that second round, and both bikes would slow down a little bit. But Matt stumbled onto something in the tune-up that's kind of eye-opening that we never thought would work, and it's working out well for us.
Of course, last week we finished up with the MotoGP here in Indianapolis. Compare the two bikes. Obviously two different racing series, two different types of race drivers, but compare the bikes. Are you guys knowledgeable on that comparison?
Yeah, to some extent. Actually, at Vance and Hines, we don't just work on our bikes. We do a lot of cylinder heads and stuff for other forms of motorcycle racing, whether it be supercross, drag racing stuff, road racing. We do a lot, especially if motorcycles overseas have a good customer base, and that's one of the things that we do at our shop. It's not just about drag racing. So for us, it's about being involved in everything. We dabble in a lot of stuff. We used to do some car stuff in the import series a couple of years ago, but since that series has gone away, that stuff has dwindled away a little bit. And we try to just stick with the two-wheel things. We know where we are, and we have a really good baseline. But, you know, for a comparison, you look at it, a road race bike is sort of de-raked and sitting up real high, as well as, you know, it's made to turn and made to corner. Our stuff doesn't turn, doesn't corner. It's basically as low to the ground as you can get, not to mention we have wheelie bars sticking out the back. So with our 70 inches of wheelbase, then you add about another 70 inches of wheelie bar sticking out the back. Key thing for that is the wheelie bar keeps it from flipping over, because we're running a flat slick, you know, that's 10 inches wide versus a road race tire, which is probably 6 inches wide. And road race tire is crowned, ours is flat. And for us, the key thing is obviously just going straight and getting as much acceleration out of it. Our motorcycles go 0 to 60 in 1 second, 0 to 102. We cover to 8th mile going 660 feet in roughly 4.3 seconds at 160 miles an hour. And, you know, hopefully a good quarter mile run is a 6.7-second run at 198, 199 miles an hour. So, you know, when you put those things into comparison, yes, a MotoGP bike does, you know, probably 200, 210, 220. But the big difference,
Troy.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No problem. But the big difference, you know, is obviously they're set up for two different things. We want to go straight. They want to turn. And the end result is, but we're both doing a form of racing. And I think that's the key thing. We all have something in common. It's that racing in your blood, and that's what it's about.
Well, Cliff has been talking that he says before he dies, if it kills him, he wants to get on one of your bikes and do what you do just once. So we're just wondering, can you sneak him out there just a little bit? We're going to have to take a break on that. But
probably not this weekend, but I'll tell you, you know, Harley makes the Destroyer, and that actually, you know, their Destroyer platform, and that's why they built it. It's based off of a V-Rod. And it's a factory 9-second motorcycle. It's got a small slick on it. It has an 8-inch wide slick. And let me tell you something, 7-inch really. And that combination is probably harder to ride than ours. When you pop the clutch on that thing, because it's not accelerating and not as arced off the starting line, it hits you in the butt way harder than you really think. And, you know, that might go... And
do well in rain races, they say, so.
Shipping it on.
We got to take a break. Of course. Clint. Got going. Guys, we'll be.
Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. Yeah.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, welcome back to Lucas Oil Raceways. It's the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. That's Cliff. That's Pete. Joining us now, I tell you, is an honor to have just a legend, racing legend. We've been talking about your father, been talking about you too. All good things, though. Courtney Force. Courtney, welcome to the ballot.
Hi.
Welcome to have you in person.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So how'd the contest end up?
It was good. It was definitely in my favor. I mean, the track to shoot out, it was a little crazy, you know, trying to get the fan votes. But in the end, it was all up to the lottery, and I got lucky.
Well,
luck has nothing to do with it.
I don't think... Well, welcome to the Clint Eastwood chair. We're telling all the guests the exact same thing. So I don't know if you know what we're talking about, but Clint Eastwood gave a speech the other night where he was talking about Obama being in an empty chair. So every time there's an empty chair now, it's the Clint Eastwood chair. So it really is an honor to have you sit in the Clint Eastwood chair, because we know that when it's empty, that it means bad things. So when it's
awesome.
Full. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on today here at the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals.
Man, we got a busy day. But, you know, yesterday coming out, you know, first day of Indy, we had a good run, ran a 4.08 and got top speed at 3.11. And it put me in the number three spot. So our Traxxas Ford Mustang's been running pretty good. I'm happy about it. You know, being that it's Indy, I mean, there's a lot going on. I got media all day, but hoping this rain holds off so we can get some good runs in.
Well, I mean, obviously, after your win, you've got the confidence and you're moving up and you're just going to become busier, and that's your own fault for winning. You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I like it. I don't mind, you know, keeping busy. I'm always out on the road with my dad, so I'm kind of used to the craziness just working with him. But, no, I mean, I'm having fun with it. I mean, just it's media. I'm used to it, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of pressure coming up. Obviously, it's the last race before you go into your championship run. Do you feel pretty confident you're locked in?
It's just crazy. I mean, I think we got a good car. I mean, running in a 4.08 yesterday makes me feel pretty good, you know, getting in the show. And I think that's kind of all we need just to get locked in. If actually, we might already be, but I don't know for sure, so I wouldn't say that.
You're close.
I think I got a bonus point, though, yesterday for that, making it in the top three. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I got my fingers crossed, hoping everything goes well. And hopefully we'll get clinched in the top 10. I mean, it'd be pretty crazy to go battle it out for the championship, so we're ready.
Pete?
Oh, sorry.
Well, while he's thinking, I'll ask you this.
Obviously, I was looking to see if she's that point putter in or not.
No problem. She's close. I'm looking at it right here. You've been around the track with your dad for a long time, and the U.S. Nationals is always important to everybody. What would it mean to you, and how much excitement would you feel if you could pull this thing off today and get that bump going into the championship run?
It would be huge. I mean, obviously, you want every point that you can get just going into the countdown to the championship. And, you know, we're hoping to get in it. But, you know, I mean, it's Indy. Everyone wants to do well here. I got some big shoes to fill. My sister had to go out and win Indy back-to-back, and now I'm like, thanks, Ashley. How the heck am I supposed to top that? But I mean, it's a huge race. I mean, I'm going to do the best I can, but it is my rookie season, so, I mean, I'm still learning out here. I'm just having a good time. I'm having fun, and I just got my fingers crossed for this weekend. I mean, we got two races that we're really going after to try to get a win, but with one win under my belt this season, I mean, it's already been going better than expected. So just being at Indy is huge for us.
Well, you know how you take care of beating out Ashley is you just need to win three in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how you do it. So.
Well, now, Courtney, you're obviously a fan favorite. Everybody loves you. We love you. In fact, I tell you what, you're our guest of honor today. We headlining you in our press release about you being here. So we really appreciate you taking time.
No, thank you.
But you're also one of my personal favorites. So it's an honor to talk with you. But you also are Ford Motor Company's favorite. Tell us about the gig with that.
I mean, it's been awesome. I've actually obviously been working with Ford for a while, not only with our race teams, but, you know, with the Ford Driving Skills for Life. It's my second year in the program, And being a spokesperson for them is pretty awesome. I mean, it's great going out and trying to set a good example and, you know, be a role model and really talk to, you know, all the kids that are coming on as, you know, new teen drivers and trying to teach them safe driving. And it's really cool with the program that they've, you know, brought on. It's pretty awesome trying to get all the kids to go out, you know, check out drivingskillsforlife.com and you know, look at the tutorials, the, you know, the tips, the videos. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and it's really cool that, you know, they've taken the initiative to really just, you know, go out and try to teach these kids how to be safer drivers. And I mean, I'm a race car driver, so I think it's a lot of fun to, you know, be a role model and kind of talk to them about it, because I remember what it was like to just try to get my driver's license. I was horrible at it. And trying to, like, learn from my dad as, you know, backseat driver was the worst thing possible. So, I mean, I definitely wish I had driving skills for life, you know, back then, I mean, that I could have used. But, I mean, it's just a lot of fun. It really is an honor.
So when you took your driving test, did the person in the side – with you from the state of California go, okay, we're going to do more than straight lines now, Miss Forbes? Like, kind of like put you in your place or want to scare you or
no.
Acknowledge that she knew who your father was?
No, I don't think anyone knew. I mean, it was really just very strict and, you know, business, and I was just trying to pay attention to doing everything right. And, I mean, I tried to keep my dad away from me when I was trying to go over and take the test. My mom kept me pretty calm, but she actually taught me, she had me learn in a Ford Excursion. So I'm like, you know, in the biggest vehicle out there and trying not to run over people. And I mean, it was better for me. I liked learning in a larger car because I think anything after that was easy.
Was the Force family locomotive not available? Is that why you had to use the Excursion?
No, that was my mom's. That was her stalker mom car, I guess.
Locomotive?
Oh. What is she taking all of soccer Europe with her? Those things
exactly.
Are just huge.
Well, Courtney, we only got a few minutes with you here, and I appreciate you stopping by. But you qualified third, obviously, first year at Mac Tools U.S. National. What do you think when you? I mean, different than being a you know, John's daughter, you know, walking around the infield and the motor coaches and so forth. You're the actual driver now. You get to go to the driver's meeting.
I know.
How does that feel?
That's always the weirdest part. That was the weirdest thing, you know, Pomona being in the driver's meeting, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, these are all drivers, and I wanted to go around and, like, talk to them. Like, I grew up with them, but some of the top fuel guys I always, like, wanted to meet, and it was so weird being like, shoot, you know, keep your composure, because you're one of them now, kind of. You know, I'm still the rookie, and nobody really knows me, but, I mean, it's just still surreal. I mean, I'm out here... I think you can tell by my interviews I'm a little too over-energetic, but I can't even go back and watch them. It makes me nauseous.
That's a family trait. Come on.
I'm just having a good time. I just love being out here. I grew up wanting to do this ever since I was a kid. So, I mean, it is very surreal. I'm loving every second of it. And, I mean, just getting qualified at every race, I think you could see the look of shock on my face. Still just crazy to me. So, I mean, it's awesome. I love it.
Now, we tried to get this answer out of Brandon earlier. He would not tell us. What is on the iPod of your on your dad's iPod?
On my dad's iPod?
Does he even have an iPod?
I think your dad has an 8-track.
Yeah, exactly. You should see his cell phone. It's still like a flip phone with like an antenna. It's ridiculous. I try to get him to borrow my iPhone. Like, I gave it to him yesterday, and I was trying to show him a picture of Jacob because he took his first steps yesterday at the Big Go. We were
awesome.
So excited.
Awesome.
But no, I was trying to show him a picture, and he like starts tapping all these buttons on the screen, and like next thing I know, he's like doing a status update on my picture. And I'm like, I don't even understand how you get to that screen. Like, he's not very good with technology, but we did get him an iPod. And I think we put, like, you know, a bunch of Elvis on and some country songs, some, you know, and some random, like, Jimmy World that
What it reminds me of? My same thing happened with my wife's phone. My daughter started playing with it and turned it to Mandarin, so it would only recognize Chinese. I mean, so he's like a 4-year-old.
All right. Unfortunately, my producer's doing this, so which means we got to wrap it up. Courtney, we appreciate – what's on your iPod? Do you listen to iPod before you get in the car? Do you listen to iPods when you're going down the drag? I mean,
I haven't yet. Actually, Ashley used to. She always played Christmas music. That was her thing. She loves Christmas. She's like an elf, I swear. But no,
well, and her car colors were Christmas colors, green and red.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I just try to listen to anything that gets me pumped up and energetic. I don't know. Everything from country now to, I don't even know, house music to rock and roll. So, who knows?
All right. Well, Courtney, we appreciate you joining us. Where can people find you? Obviously, your dad's Facebook. Or
Facebook at Courtney Force and Twitter at Courtney Force. I'm always posting stuff throughout the race on Twitter, and it goes directly to my Facebook. So, yeah.
Well, we wish you luck here at the Mac Tools U.S. Nationals. And, again, an honor to have you with us today.
Yeah,
Have a great race.
Thank you so much.
Courtney Force of the legendary John Force family. Guys, that's going to do it for us. Cliff, Pete, I know you guys are hanging out here. I might hang out with you guys a little bit if you want me to. But for us Minions, guys, we've got to go. It's been a great, great show. And we'll get to you next week. And, guys, we're going to have sports back next week. And Notre Dame, and we're going to be doing all that. Real quickly, come on, Pete. We're running
out of
time here.
The whining
Notre Dame's up
27-3. Notre Dame's up. So there we go, guys. We have got to go, guys. Remember, don't drink and drive. It's not cool. My name's Sal Mark with El Presidente. We'll see you next Saturday.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.